Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Reading, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palos Cedro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again, in Palos Cedro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today or less.
If you are running your own business, already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours in sight.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. It's Sunday once again, July 27th, 2014. My name is Mark Kent and I am your host, and I'll be here for the duration with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And Bob Martin, our great guy, all-around producer, soundboard operator, and what a great guy. How you doing, Bob?
Great, Mark. Good to see you and Linda again.
Very good. We are streaming worldwide. This is KCNR 1460. You can go to KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567. And, you know, if you have any questions or comments with our guest, today is going to be David Bago. And he's going to be talking about the unions and SEIU and all that kind of stuff. Jefferson State of Mind on Saturday at 8 a.m. You just got through listening to We the People, 8 to 10 on Sunday. Go to www.shastalantern.com. I have the quote of the day here. Let others lead small lives, but not you. Let others argue over small things, but not you. Let others cry over small hurts, but not you. Let others leave their future in someone else's hands, but not you. Jim Rohn. So, I thought
very
that was
nice,
pretty
yeah.
good. And remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Just in case you wanted to know. Okay.
Who gave the quote there?
The first one or the second one?
The last one.
I don't know. I just ran across.
I thought you said Jim Rome.
No, the first one was Jim Rohn.
Rohn. Okay. Not Jim Rome, the sports talk host.
I don't know. I just said that's. I picked it up at a quote thing. So I'm not sure.
Grab anyway. Line.
Yeah, it's a great line. So anyway, see you guys later. The Elvis and company are leaving the building, and that would be Aaron and Bill. So do we have any veterans events?
We do. On July 31st, we have Veterans Appreciation Day at NorCal Herbal Studies. And that is at 1666 East Cypress Avenue. And you can go there from 10 to 3. And it's on a sliding scale fee. This is for alternative medicine. So unless you're really into Obamacare and paying at the doctors and stuff, this is alternative medicine. Again, that is NorCal Herbal Studies. The number there is 722-6728. And then coming on August 2nd is Comedy Night. Excuse me. This is Homeward Bound, and Military Family Support is putting this on. This is at Big League Dreams. Tickets are $15. It's from 6 to 10 p.m. And again, that's August 2nd. You can get tickets at the Loan Center, North Valley Bank Loan Center, which is on Cypress behind the bank, or at the Reading Tea Party, or at Big League Dreams. Again, that is to support Homeward Bound and the Military Family Support. So,
very good, very good. So I'm not sure if we have our guest on the line yet, but we're going to be talking with David Bago. And he is the author of The Devil at My Doorstep. And his book, I believe, is regarding on stems from his actual firsthand experience while waging war with Andy Stern and the SEIU from late 2006 until the present day. Unlike other corporate executives who either compromise their core values and cave into union demands, or those who simply talk about what it would be like to face financial disaster, based on fighting back against one of the most powerful unions in existence today, the author has lived the experience. I'm reading his bio, obviously. While under attack from Stern and his union thugs. I think that's pretty good, pretty much says it all. So are you with us there, David?
Yes, I am, Mark. How are you doing today?
The fun never stops, living the dream. How about you?
Yeah, there's always opportunity.
It's true. Maybe you can give us a little background here on how you got started on this stuff and what happened to lead you into this fight and this book.
Well, Mark, it's kind of an interesting story, and I talk about it in the book, but I graduated from college and was going to be a doctor and was on the waiting list at Indiana University, and in the meantime was offered a job with Central Soya Company out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and took the job, ended up working for them for 8.5 years, and starting in research and then getting into management, and became a turnaround specialist, turning around plants that were failing, and by the way, they were all union facilities. And I did that for about 8.5 years, and ended up back in the town I was born in, Indianapolis, and wanted to stay there, and they wanted me to keep moving on, and so I left them and went to work for another cleaning company for 3 years, and left them, and in 1989 I started my own commercial cleaning company on the east side of Indianapolis, cleaning about 6,000 square feet by myself, and today we're in 38 states and have over 5,000 employees, and we've got a supply company, we've got a security guard company, we own a manufacturing company, we own a golf course, and all that from starting as a janitor myself.
Wow, that's an amazing story. So you obviously understand business just a little bit here, it sounds like.
A little bit. And along the way, and one of the reasons I told you the story about turning plants around, and that the way I did it was to get all the employees involved and make it a team effort, so that management and people on the manufacturing floor and clerical people were all working together and respecting each other. And I never had problems with the union people doing that. And then as I built my company, I've always tried to build my companies based on that fact that, we take care of people and we treat them right and all that. And then as we grew in 2006, 2007, the SEIU had put together a program called Three Cities, One Future. It was a business plan to organize all the cleaning companies throughout Indiana and Ohio, and they actually kind of tipped over into St. Louis, Missouri, and Pennsylvania and PA. What they wanted us to do, they came to all the major cleaning companies, us being one now, and they wanted us to sign what's called a neutrality agreement. And if you sign the neutrality agreement, It takes away your employees' rights to a secret ballot election to decide if they want to be unionized, and it goes to card check. And as part of that agreement, I would have had to give a list of all my employees and their home addresses so they could send organizers to their homes to intimidate and threaten them until they sign union cards. And once they got a bare majority, you're automatically union. And I just told them, you know, I'm not anti-union. Let's have an election. I'll live with it. And they said, no, you're going to sign the agreement. And I said, well, no, I won't either because it's anti-American. It's immoral. I will never sign it. And they said, well, we're going to attack you. And I said, okay. And they did, and we had a four-and-a-half-year battle, and we won.
Wow, so that's the way, I was just going to say, how do they get anybody to sign an agreement? But evidently, it's intimidation tactics and the union thug routine to do so, it sounds like.
Well, it is, and most of the companies knew what their, you know, they had conducted these campaigns down in Houston and other areas in the country. And, you know, and we knew what their campaigns were like. They're called corporate campaigns, death by a thousand cuts. And if you don't sign it, and about 95% of companies will sign it because they don't want to go through it because of the financial cost and the, the psychological cost and taking away from your company business and all that kind of stuff. And but I just, to me, it's anti-American. So we fought, and you know, they use clergy people against us. They use politicians against us. They use little kids in my neighborhood on Halloween against us. They use the press against us. And but we figured out how to turn the tide and beat them.
Well, that sounds like it sounds like you've got a lot to tell here. We've got to go to a quick break here and then come back.
I think that Bob might be having some problems over there, we can keep running, or do we want to take a break?
I guess we're going to keep running.
You'll have to do it without the music. Someone has locked me out of the email.
Okay, well, let's just keep running with David if he's good with that.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's just run with it. So you're not anti-union, it sounds like, David. It just sounds like you're anti-coerced tactic thug.
Intimidation
thug union. Am I reading that?
Well, that's correct. And unfortunately, most of the bigger unions use these tactics today. But, you know, and I even write this in my book, that there was a time for unions because there were you know, companies doing bad things and taking advantage of people and that. And, you know, today, though, we have enough laws through the Department of Labor and the National Labor Relations Board, EEOC, and places like that, that employees are protected. Plus, most employers understand that they have to take care of their employees and treat them right. Now, having said that, there are some employers out there, not a big percentage of them, that do take advantage of people and don't treat them well, and they should be unionized. But to force unionize people just so that you can keep your membership from shrinking and put money in your own pocket and for your own political agenda, to me, is just wrong.
Well, it seems to me that the approach of everybody, you know, the team concept of we're kind of all in the same boat here a little bit, you know, as far as the work environment is the way to go. I'm not sure whether that matters whether you're union or not, you know, if there's some kind of a balance that's being struck.
Well, yeah, and but you know, on the side of it is you got to have people have free choice of what they want, whether they want to be represented or not. And I'm just a firm believer that you should have a voice, you should have a secret ballot election. That's the American way. And you know, they didn't look at it that way. Like I say, they used, they had a Senator Evan Bayh from Indiana call a couple of our biggest customers and ask them to cancel my contracts with them unless I sign the neutrality agreement. They had clergy people that did rallies at buildings we cleaned and basically shut them down because they blocked the doors.
So these guys are
Halloween.
These guys are pretty connected, it sounds like. I mean, you know, so.
they are. Well, they've got a group out of Chicago called the Interfaith Workers Justice Group, which is a supposedly a religious group, but what it is, it's a group that's supported by unions. If you go on their site, you can see they get about 99% of their money from the unions, and whenever the unions are attacking or targeting a particular employer, they call these people in to do these things. And what's interesting is that The Devil at Our Doorstep, my current book, is my second book. My first one was The Devil at My Doorstep, and I wrote it after we won in front of a administrative law judge in Indiana. And where he says the union's testimony was completely unbelievable and contrived, and unanimously ruled in our favor. And plus, the union had filed like 40 unfair labor practices against us for abusing employees and stuff like that. And he threw every one of those out and denied them.
It's funny.
And I thought we had won.
It's funny how, you know, almost everything comes out of Chicago. It seems like it's the Chicago way. We've got our stuff all set up here now, Dave. I think we can go to our first break.
Yeah, we're going
to
go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We are accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
It's the season to eat some Giants. Giant subs from Jersey Mike's. Every one is a big, huge, portable picnic. Every bite is a thing of delectable, edible beauty. Giants don't mind being shared, split, or spliced. Because the only thing a Giant sub skimps on is skimpy. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Stop in at Jersey Mike's and grab some Giants to share today.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Since the birth of this great nation, men and women have fought and died to protect the very freedoms in which we all have so much pride. And as they spilled their blood at Gettysburg, saving freedom is what they sought. And if you ask a dying patriot, he will tell you that they fought. Four random screenings at the airport with the TSA all grabby while we place our toiletries out in transparent plastic baggies. And if you ask them why they fought and died, they'd give you the same answer. So you can get pics taken of your junk while slowly getting cancer. Ask any single one of them, it won't be no surprise. That's why they fought and died. Well, they braved the cold at Valley Forge, facing sacrifice and pain. Yeah, there was typhoid, measles, dysentery, plus being in Pennsylvania. But they went to fight the British to save this independent nation. And with their final words, they say they died so our taxation could be on property and income with withholding of our wages with the silly complex tax code over 16,000 pages. And if you asked them why they gave their lives, they'd say their only wishes. You could fill out seven forms to prove that pencil was for business. Ask any single one of them, it won't be no surprise. That's why they fought and died.
Well, they gave their lives
so we could save up for a mortgage. Woo! they stormed that sandy beach,
so we could pay our neighbors too.
They fought and died in fields with pride and gave us all we'd hoped for.
To save us all from tyranny
and also from Four Loko.
Ask any single one of them, it won't be no surprise. That's why they fought and died.
That's why they fought and died.
That's why they fought and died.
That's why they gave their lives.
That's why they fought and died.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're back. You gotta like that. That was Remy. Yeah. So that's what we got. We fought. Our forefathers fought and died for all of the stuff we got.
Yep, they did.
Unbelievable. We're talking with David Bago, and he's written a couple of books, The Devil at My Doorstep. And what was the other one, David?
My second one, which we were just talking about, is The Devil at Our Doorstep.
Oh, The Devil at Our Doorstep. Okay, so I'm looking at the one that says The Devil at My Doorstep. So that was a prior book to the one you've got going now. That's a little confusing.
Yeah, and I think when Sandy sent out the stuff, she put the previous book in instead of the current one. And people can go to thedevilatourdoorstep.com and see the book and my blog you know,
we just know the devil's at our doorstep.
Yeah,
no matter which one it is.
Yeah, there you have it. It's yours or mine? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I was looking at the bio here, and it says you're truly the voice and face of the opposition of the pending Employee Free Choice Act. Now, that kind of almost says you're not against. It sounds like you're against employees' free choice. But my experience with any act that's passed, it's usually the opposite of what it says it is. Maybe you can expand on that.
Well, yeah. Let me do that. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to finish on my. I was telling you the story about the clerk, my first book.
Sure.
What I wanted to tell you real quick is in my second book, which took another 14 months, because our case was appealed to Washington, and we won in Washington. And people all across the country read my first book, The Devil at My Doorstep, even one of the clergy people that attacked us. And he called me and had lunch, and he apologized. He says, everything you say in your book is true. I was wrong. The union was wrong. And he wrote us a letter of recommendation, which is in the second book. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. But back to the Employee Free Choice Act. That's what, I mentioned card check earlier. Mm-hmm. That's the Employee Free Choice Act is a fancy name, and the big labor bosses and their political allies always do these type of things to kind of sugarcoat things and make them sound really good. But the Employee Free Choice Act was a card check. And what that means is like I said before, is all they have to do, if that bill would have passed and legislatively, which it didn't, I was a part of the people and the group that stopped it. But if it would have passed, all they had to do is go out and force or intimidate 50% of employers' employees to sign union cards plus one, 50% plus one, and they would have automatically been unionized. So that means if you say you're a small business owner, you got 30 employees, and you go home on a Friday, and over the weekend they go to these people's homes and force them to sign. They get 16 people to sign cards. Come back on Monday, and you got the union sitting there saying, "Hey, you're unionized. Let's negotiate a contract." And that's what this was all about, and it eliminated the secret ballot election, which to me, again, is un-American.
Well, and then when you start into this negotiation, it seems like, you know, you're back to thug tactics, I'm assuming, to get what they want. And, I mean, isn't this a hard way to do business? You have to raise your prices, lay people off. I mean, it seems like something would have to give, you know, in the process.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the unions always, when they have their organizers out there on the streets and then their, you know, the people that are making speeches and that, they've got all this flowery language, you know. You know, we're going to get you double your wages. It's kind of like the SEIU has been doing here the past year with Fight for 15, getting $15 an hour for people that work in fast food restaurants and that. And, you know, we're going to do this for you, and they tell the people, you know, you're not going to work as hard, and you know, life's going to be easier.
Free health care.
Yeah, and free and all this, and what they don't tell the people is that, well, yeah, you might get that or some of that, but half of you are going to lose your jobs, because, you know, the companies can't afford to do this. And I have to tell you, one of the ways we beat the SEIU is I went around to all the major facilities where we were under attack. And I sat down and I talked to my employees. Usually we did it over pizza or some type of dinner. And I was in Cincinnati at one of our large customers down there. We had about 40 or 50 employees in the room, and I started talking to them. You know, I want to talk to you about the reality of what's going on and the misinformation that these organizers are spewing and all that. And I had a lady in the back of the room, a black lady about, I'd say, mid-50s, stand up, start waving her hand at me. She says, "Can I speak?" And I said, "Sure." And I had no idea what she was going to say. But she got up and she looked around the room and she says, "All of you need to listen to Mr. Bego. We might make double our wages in some place like New York, but the cost of living is going to be twice as much too. These people treat us well, they pay us well, we have benefits, they make sure we're safe, and they're nice people. We need to support our company." Everybody in the room stood up and cheered except two ladies in the front that had SEIU buttons on.
Wow, that's says a lot right there, because it sounds like she'd probably been through the process before. I know a couple people that have gone through the unionizing process, and it's like you say, I mean, you get promised everything, and, you know, the delivery's not nearly as good as the promises.
Well, that's right, and what people don't understand is the unions, you know, they used to represent 40 to 45% of the workforce in this country, and today they're down to 11.3%. And only about 6% of the private workforce. And they're desperate, you know, and they'll do anything to organize people so that they can collect the dues money. And
right.
That's what this is all about, the dues money.
That's right, exactly, and where I was just going to go. Go ahead.
Yep, and put it in their own pocket and then support their political allies.
And then, and that just happens to be, in general, mostly Democrats, or at least, if not Democrats, progressives, I guess would be the way to put it, because it seems like we've got them on both sides of the aisle now. I mean, and so they, and that seems to be where the big machine is that has been going on for quite some time, as far as getting rid of, you know, bypassing the Constitution, you know, having a pen and a phone and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, that's exactly right, and you brought that up. Two things I got to say about that. When I called in to give my phone number, I got a kick out of your gal that answered the phone. She says, "I'm like the president. I got a pen and a phone, so I got a kick out of her."
That would be Erin.
Yeah, that was Erin. She does the show right before us, We the People.
That was great. I loved it. So. But the other thing is that people don't realize. And see, I'm going to be honest with you. I was kind of naive when they started attacking me. I knew the things they were doing other places, but I just kind of thought, no, they'll never come after us. But they did. And then when they attacked us and they started using all these different people against us and the politicians and that, that's what when I woke up to the political reality behind it. And, you know, Andy Stern, who was president of the SEIU at that time, was and still is good friends with the current president. And, you know, he, the president was behind him all the way on his trying to unionize people. And we've even got, if you go to my blogs, which is on my website, The Devil at Our Doorstep, and several of them, I've got this insert in there. It's called Obama and the SEIU Sitting in a Tree. It's usually a blue line, and you can click on it. And when you watch it, it's got the president in Chicago in 2008 in front of a large convention of SEIU people, and he's up there talking. He says, "I've been a part of you my whole adult life. I've worked with you. I've organized with you, and together we're going to paint this country purple." Purple is the color of the SEIU.
Yeah, you know, it's just amazing, you know, that, like you're saying, I mean, Andy Stern was, I hate to say, in bed with the president, but seemed like they were pretty good buddies there for a long time. I mean, he made more visits to the White House than I think anybody in the first part of his term. I mean, this guy's a union guy. I mean, how does that work as far as, you know, conflict of interest? I would think something would be going on there.
Well, here's the other thing a lot of people don't know about it. You know, the SEIU represents probably half of its membership is healthcare workers.
Mm.
And there's a bunch of, you know, SEIU is big in California. And what Stern did is he went when they're looking at Democratic nominees for the presidency in 2008. He went to them all and said, "Look, we'll support the person that will guarantee that he passes nationalized health care." Of course, Obama got on board with that, and of course, he got elected. The SEIU, I think, spent like $69 million to help get him elected that year. And so Stern consequently was in the White House 22 times, as you said. And I'm sure most people believe this, he was in there helping write the Affordable Care Act.
I believe it because, you know, whoever wrote the Affordable Care Act didn't do a very good job anyway. As far as reading the bill, they're finding out now through this last ruling on the courts that only the states can do the supplement on there and not the federal government. So it kind of negates their whole thing. So they didn't do a very good job. So maybe they should have stuck to union thuggery instead of writing law. I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of glad they didn't.
I think we have to go to a break, David. I'm sorry about that, but we're a little messed up today. But we'll come back after the break, and we'll talk some more.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Find yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. We are all blessed to live in such a beautiful and bountiful area of California. If your home was built before the early 1990s, chances are that many of your water-using fixtures in your home do not meet today's strict water-conserving codes or standards. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at www.wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Look for Wallner online or in the Smart Yellow Pages.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back. That's pretty appropriate. They're Bob Marley, Bad Boys. Speaking of Bad Boys, I was looking at your webpage, and I noticed that you had done a lot of meetings, appearances with congressional leaders, senators Richard Lugar, Evan Bayh, Harry Reid, Arlen Specter, which, you know, I got to say, you know, that doesn't, that's kind of a cast of characters there. We could go into that. But what was that like? I mean, being up there talking to these guys, I mean, were they responsive? What was the deal?
Well, you know, I've been to Washington many times, and most of those were back in 2010, going into 2011 when we had the Employee Free Choice Act defeated. And I went in to talk to each one of these people about it. And, you know, some of them are nice people, and they, I mean, if you sit down just to talk to them in general, you'd be comfortable with them. But they are clueless when it comes to what's in the bills. It's like Evan Bayh, the senator from Indiana. When I sat down with him and his legislative aide to go over the Employee Free Choice Act, which he was one of the original sponsors of, I said, you know, Senator, Congress is not going to vote to eliminate the secret ballot election. That's un-American. I said, number two, the second part is where you have mandatory arbitration after 120 days and the government's going to do the arbitration, you know, I can't see Congress voting for that. And I said, then the third thing is, and he stopped me and he says, David, there is no third thing. Well, I said, Senator, there is too. He says, no. I said, Senator, yes, there is. The third thing is that there would be fines imposed on employers who were found guilty of unfair labor practices. And I can guarantee you, based on my fight with the SEIU, that they'll go out and they'll throw unfair labor practices against the wall like they're spitballs, knowing some will stick, and they're talking fines of $10,000 to $20,000. And, you know, for employers, that would be a heavy bill, especially if they, you know, several of them were found to be upheld. And he looked at me and says, no, David. And I said, yes. And I looked over at his legislative aide and I said, am I right or wrong? And he looked at the senator and he says, Mr. Bigo's right. And that was the end of the meeting. He just looked at me, and he was gracious the whole time. He's, sure. He's a nice guy to talk to.
Yeah, he's a politician.
But, yeah. And this is the problem you have in Washington, okay? And I talk about this in my book a little bit, too, and because I've gone through all these things. And it's sad because these people get so wrapped up in the Washington lifestyle and, you know, the money and all that stuff and the power that they don't really sit back and pay attention to what's going on and really understand what's going on.
Well, they, you know, it's kind of the highway to hell here is what's happening. I mean, you know, this is a whole thing, is like it says, is a direct threat to free enterprise capitalism. This is like out of Atlas Shrugged. What's going to happen when there's nothing left? And we're going down that road right now.
Well, and I, you know, if you read my blogs, I've got a big concern about all this, that yes, that's where they're taking us. And, you know, if America doesn't wake up, you know, we could see the economy implode. I don't know if you've ever heard of Cloward and Piven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
I think they're doing, you know, it on purpose, the border, the whole nine. I mean, absolutely. I think they're right on track with this, and I think that I don't think there's any way to stop it at this point, but I think that what do we get after it implodes is where I'm at. I think there's no way to stop the implosion. I could be wrong, but then the question becomes, what's the choice after that?
Well, that's it, and you know, there's a lot of people, and you know, that, you know, say that the intent is once the economy implodes, you know, because we nationalize healthcare and the border and nationalize education and all that, is that when it does implode, you know, you declare martial law and you take over, because that was the intent of Cloward and Piven.
Right.
I think we'll have a revolution if that happens.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. I think that the tide is turning. I think that people have lost faith or belief in any of the mainstream media now. They've been fed so much garbage. And I think that these guys are, you know, got a tiger by the tail. And if they're not careful, you know, it could turn on them. And I think that's where we're at right now. If they do try to declare martial law at this point, I think they will have a revolt.
Well, I do too, and you know, you say people are waking up, and in my second book, I included stories from employers across the country that had read my first and told me about their horror stories and the intimidation tactics and all that, And some of the employees, like there's a gal from your state, Miriam Nojum, we call her Miriam the Mighty. She's just actually down the road from you, works in the Sacramento area.
Hmm.
Her story's in my book, and she's actually taking the SEIU to task out there now. She's got a lawsuit against them. And last month in June, she ran a program to get a lot of the members to sign up for this. It's called Non-Germane Something. But it's a request that they can sign up that the union has to reduce their dues by the amount that they use for politicians and, you know, campaigns and all that kind of stuff. And she got a big percentage of the union members to sign up for it, and they're getting their dues reduced by 34%.
Well, there's also the the Pacific Justice Foundation down there with Brad Dacus that you can opt out of the union completely, is my understanding, if you do it correctly. So, you know, and the point being is that there's a lot of people starting to fight back.
Well, there is, and there's, Michigan became a right-to-work state here a couple of years ago, and that was all started by United Auto Workers who worked on a Ford plant. And they had read my book, and they had me up there. I did speeches with them and everything, and helped them behind the scenes to get right to work passed in Michigan. And I helped get it passed here in Indiana. And it's amazing to me, and I get emails and that all the time from employees across the country, that they're fed up with all this. And they're starting to fight back, and I think we see a groundswell.
I agree. I mean, I guess, if you looked at Detroit lately, they just filed bankruptcy not too long ago, and that's what's going to happen if we keep going down this road. That's a direct result of the retirement programs for these, this is government workers in a lot of cases, but that's SEIU. And, you know, that's my big problem with the unions is, number one, I mean, I don't think there should be any unions inside of government at all, because they bypass the client. I mean, the people have no input on the negotiations on the contract for the labor.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the unions are feeding these politicians, you know, money to get them elected. Then they're sitting across the table from the people that got elected. Well, you know, that is not an ethical process, and it needs to be stopped. And like I say, even these people, Miriam that I talked about, she works for the Department of Motor Vehicles out there. So she has to be a member of the SEIU because she works for the state. And she is an immigrant from Egypt. And
wow.
She saw what happened in Egypt when she got out. And she sees the same thing happening here. And she is fighting. And it's great to see it.
Well, what was her last name again, David? We thought we might contact her for an interview.
Yeah, Miriam Nojum. And if you guys can send me an email, I can give you her contact information.
Oh,
okay, that would be great. Yeah.
That'd be great. Well, you know, there is an explosion. We got to go to a break here, but I want to talk about the explosion that's going to happen, because if you look at the retirement packages of these unions in the public sector, and they're mostly in bonds and sovereign debt and in the stock market, and we know that doesn't look too good right now. We're at the top of the market. If we have any kind of a correction, then it's going to put a lot more pressure on the local, state, and federal governments on their retirement packages, because they just won't be there. So with that, let's go to a break, and we'll come back and talk about it.
All right, this is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
They call me the mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I found a way.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall, On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments. But when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, and your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center, well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
We're back here, and my guest is David Bigo, and he's the author of The Devil at Our Doorstep, as well as The Devil at My Doorstep.
Yep.
So we're talking about unions and so forth, and we were just talking about guaranteed retirements to the public sector. Do you have any thoughts on that, David?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm for all people, you know, to make a good living and have opportunity when they retire, but what the unions are doing is just... especially in your state and some other states, is just way out of whack. And when people are retiring, making as much or more than when they were actually working, and they're doing it at the age of 52 and 53 years old, is, you know, it's a recipe for disaster and for bankruptcy, and that's where we're headed.
Yeah, it's just like the guys here locally, you know, they give themselves all a raise, and then they want to charge some more sales tax on a half cent sales tax and raise that up, and it's just like there's no end to it. It just keeps going.
Yeah, and it's sad because, you know, I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I was a big Detroit Tiger fan. Sorry about that, but and my dad used to take me up there to watch the Tigers games and that, and I can remember when Detroit was you could see it was starting around the edges to crumble, but it was a much more thriving city. And you go up there today and look at it, and it is so terrible. And it's just, a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to some states in this country, eventually, if we don't turn things around and we get people back to work and working for a fair wage, but taking care of things instead of so many people on entitlements and big union pensions and everything like that.
Well, they're killing the goose that laid the golden egg.
Well, I was going to say, we're running down here. We got about 6 minutes. Maybe you can give us some solutions and what you did and how you got started in combating SEIU and all of that and the labor unions.
Well, what I did, and by the way, they're probably listening because you know they're right down the road from you. I think they're state office in Sacramento. But and I got to tell you another quick story what they did, because your readers won't believe this. I told you they use little kids. They had little kids trick-or-treat in my neighborhood on Halloween. Little kids. And as they got their candy, they handed my neighbors flyers that said House of Horrors, buildings cleaned by EMS. People were abused and mistreated and forced to use hazardous chemicals and dangerous equipment. Then they had union thugs driving up down the street. My neighbors were terrified.
Wow.
Oh,
these are the tactics they use, guys.
Wow, these guys are just criminals.
Yeah, but what we did is, you know, we put up with this kind of stuff. They filed unfair labor practices against us. They had people, assaults that they inserted into our workforce that they had go file OSHA complaints against us and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I kept looking, looking out my window one day, and I said, we're not going to put up with this any longer. We're not going to let bullies intimidate us. And so we started putting together files on everything they did where they broke the law. And we kept those. And then I told you earlier, I started going out and I'd start talking to all my employees and about what was going on. And then I went and talked to my customers. I talked to the press, the ones that would listen to me. There's a lot that won't. But we started getting out the word against them. And I took out an ad in the Indianapolis Star that said, SEIU, Fisher cut bait. And I challenged them to back up all their false claims against us. And when it's, guys, it's the best thing I can say is, do you remember the movie Christmas Story with the little boy in there, and he's being abused by the bully and Ralphie, and
sure.
he finally gets tired of it.
He finally snaps,
and he smacked him in the nose and decked him out in the parking lot. You know, well, that's kind of unfortunate what you have to do with these people, because they don't understand anything else. Plus, I challenged them to public debates, and they would not debate me in public. We had one down in Cincinnati where one of our customers was building a new building, and the SEIU infiltrated the city council, and they were going to deny the zoning for the building. And the people called me and said, Dave, look, we've been doing business with you for years. We like who you are, your company, what you stand for, and but we need help because we got to get this building built. We've got a lot of money invested. And I said, okay, just tell the city council that I'll be happy to come down and debate the SEIU in front of the council, and you just let me know when. Well, this was a Thursday morning. They called me back Thursday afternoon. They said, okay, it's set up for next Monday at 1 o'clock. I said, fine, I'll be there, and I'll have my attorney there, and we'll debate them. They said, can you win? I said, yeah, we'll win. And so Sunday afternoon, the day before, I got a call from my attorney, and he says, Dave, the meeting's been called off. The SEIU's back down. They're going to pass the zoning, and everything's fine.
They don't want to expose it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, just typical. I mean, I'm looking at the quote here from Andy Stern. I mean, although we prefer to lead with the power of persuasion, with many resistant employers, we're often left in no choice but to use the persuasion of power. I mean, that sounds like something out of Mao Zedong.
Yep.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's funny, the last meeting I had with him here in Indianapolis, I was at the Columbia Club downtown, and I was sitting there with my attorney. They had their contract manager out of Cleveland and their Midwest president out of Chicago. And, you know, it was generally a good conversation, but, you know, they kept pushing me in that. And finally, the contract manager says, you're not going to sign the neutrality agreement, are you? I said, no, I have no intention of it. I've told you it's un-American. It's morally wrong. I'm not going to do it. And he got up, they both got up from the table, and they looked at me and they said, we enjoy conversation, but we employ confrontation. We're going to be attacking you. And they got up and left.
So the moral of the story is you have to fight back. That's the
solution.
Apply
the pressure back to them like they apply to us.
Well, the only difference is we did it professionally. We
right.
didn't do anything that was
right.
illegitimate or illegal. We didn't bully anybody. We just stood up to them.
I think that's the key, is exposing these people for who they are is really, they're just like cockroaches, you know, they don't want to see the lights. And that's the deal, is most people don't even try to expose them. And we're coming to grips with the fact that just exposing this stuff, you know, like you say, you don't have to do anything illegal or immoral or wrong. You just have to tell it like it is. And typically that's the problem, is what they're doing is illegal, immoral, or wrong.
Well, that's right, and I've never called them bad names or anything like that. I've always been professional about it. I just don't agree with their philosophy, and I think people should, you know, be willing to stand up and expose it.
Yeah.
We agree. Unfortunately, we are running down. We're almost out of time here. I think we got about, 30 seconds left? Maybe not that much.
Well, better give us your website and contacts and so forth there.
Yeah, they can go to my website, thedevilatourdoorstep.com, and they can see my blog. You can sign up for it. You can even get my book at a discount if you read down a little bit. And if you want to contact me, there's an email address there.
All right. We want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time with us.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And we will see you next week on Sovereign Minds, and our guest should be Brad Dickus with the Pacific Justice Foundation.
Here on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Tensions continue to rise between Russia and Ukraine. There's fighting in eastern Ukraine today between pro-Russia separatists and the government. And experts are advising Ukraine to abandon any plans for joining NATO or the European Union.
Poroshenko and his prime minister and the Ukrainian people have to recognize that they will not become NATO members. Their dance with the EU is going to be short-lived, that the Russian people will not tolerate this.
SRN News military analyst Robert McGinnis. U.S. officials are sharing satellite images they say show Russia has been firing rockets more than 7 miles into eastern Ukraine.